Are we funding public education adequately to ready students for college and careers? And if not, what are the implications?
So there's a real price to be paid when students can't, you know, go on to the universities of their own state because they happen to be born in a poor district.
That's economics and education professor emeritus Walter McMahon of the University of Illinois. He's a noted and widely published expert on school finances and the impact of education on economies and political systems. This is Educator Radio, this episode, The Costs and Benefits of Public Education, featuring Dr. Walter McMahon. I'm your host, Jim Grimes. I recently visited my alma mater, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and had a chance to talk with Dr. Walter McMahon about the trends in the funding of public schools and higher education and what it means for our economy and our nation. I asked him about property taxes and school funding, specifically in the state of Illinois.
Well, there's a very wide variation in the assessed valuation of real estate from the richer districts to the poorer districts. This leads to a very wide expenditure difference in expenditure per pupil between the rich districts and the poor districts. The rich districts, therefore, are able to compete for teachers, and teachers are mobile. There is a market, a labor market for teachers, and so the science teachers gravitate to some of the richer districts, and the poorer districts are left really stranded with very low expenditures per pupil.
There seems to be an uneasy balancing act between local funding and control and state funding and oversight. What should the state's role be in bringing equity to education?
So this extremely wide inequality is the most extreme in the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. Sad to say, our own state here, but it's wide in other states too. Hawaii is perhaps the exception because all K through 12 education is pretty much funded at the state level, and there's a more equal expenditure per child across that state. Mm-hmm. So with this wide inequality, what the state's role is or should be is to try to provide for funding of an adequate education and in all districts. And that means they need to help the poorest school districts the most. And then the next poorest and the middle poorest and in the rich districts where they have geraniums in the flower boxes in the administrators' windows and where the teachers have sabbaticals, why that they don't need the help as much. Mm-hmm. But in Illinois, more money has been going to the rich districts than to the poor districts.
Public education in the United States is funded largely through property taxes. It's been the case in the state of Illinois, despite efforts over decades to reform school funding to make it more equitable. Professor McMahon has studied recent changes to the Illinois pre-K-12 funding system that were enacted into law in 2017. The changes may enable students in all communities to get more adequate resources in their schools by the newly allocated state funds. The new system is called evidence-based funding, and it's beginning to take effect across the state.
So now we have a new state funding system in mm-hmm. the state of Illinois, and this might be an example for other states where the poor districts are kind of funded first. They're broken into different tiers, and then tier two is funded next, and then tier three, if there's enough money, is funded next, topped up what they already have, which is pretty good, and so forth. And there are a few types of grants, like the aids for school buses, that are kind of equal across all districts in the terms of the number of miles driven. So the richer districts are always getting some money, yes, but even under the reform formula. So this was the goal, and it corrects a very serious problem.
What about the impact of public school funding formulas on access to higher education?
I've been on the state commission that was concerned with the funding of higher education statewide a while back, and we were having students apply from the poor districts that didn't have any science classes, for example, no physics, no chemistry, and precious little math, and mm-hmm. so they couldn't gain admission to a university like the University of Illinois or the other universities that do require some, because they couldn't get any science teachers, and mm-hmm. Couldn't get teachers in, you know, mathematics, for instance. And so there's a real price to be paid when students can't, you know, go on to the universities of their own state mm-hmm. because they happen to be born in a poor district.
Some commentators and politicians compare how funds are allocated in the private, for-profit-making business sector to how public education is funded. Dr. McMahon talks about the differences.
This kind of question of equity does not arise in the private sector. You don't, if you're producing steel, for instance, you don't think about the equity between the different blocks of, you know, ingots of steel. You don't have to do that. It's efficiency. It's not equity. But when you're dealing with human beings, why then this is a different matter. And I think we do have to think about fairness between students across the state, and that is the state's role.
I'm Jim Grimes, and in our next episode, Dr. McMahon explores why families invest in education, and he shares research that he and his co-authors have recently published about how critical the role of education plays in our economy and our political system. You're listening to Educator Radio. Find us on educatorradio.com, where you can check out resources for those working in the profession and reliable news on education.